Good morning. You listen to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Dan Frierson, who's chairman with the Dixie Group. Dan, how you doing?
Kemp, I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing well. It's good to have you on the line with us today. I want to talk to you because a few weeks ago, you had your earnings come out, and let's get into that in a minute. But first, let me just ask you how business conditions are today.
Well, Kemp, I think 2012 is a lot like 2011. Things are not great, but there's business out there, and those that are doing the right things are showing improvement, and I think it's going to be more the same in 2012 as to what we saw in 2011 on the residential side. On the commercial side, I think we've seen a little bit of a slowdown in fourth quarter and first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Relative a year ago. Remembering, however, a year ago we were having relatively good business.
Right. Now, you mentioned about the residential business and how it was looking like 11, but in 11, the business was doing very well and then really took a dip in around May or June or so. We're not anticipating that, are we?
No, I'm not saying that. I guess what I'm saying is until housing, home resales, those things come back in a more robust way, I don't think you're going to see dramatic changes in the business. If you go back to the downturn of 08, 09, the industry is still up single digits from then.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think we're going to see dramatic growth. However, there's no question in my mind that the upper-end business, the more what you might want to call the luxury business, is doing better than the market overall. And I think you can make a case, although we don't participate in what I would call the very lower part of the market, I think it's better than the market overall.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we have a barbell-type effect.
Yeah. All right, well, just for the benefit of our listeners, for those that may not remember, Dixie, as most know, has three brands out there. You've got Dixie Home on the middle end of the business. You've got Maslin and then Fabrica, and Maslin plays both in the commercial and residential markets. And you manufacture and sell wool goods, mostly nylon goods, and then some polyester goods. But I'd say your price points compared to the marketplace are generally averaged three or four times what the market is, right?
That's true. Our average as a company is about $20, mill price.
Right.
And it goes way on up from there. And you mentioned wool. That's been one of our real success stories over the last three or four years. We introduced wool, started in 07, so it couldn't have been introduced at a more difficult time going into the 08 downturn. But since 08 and since 07, our wool business has grown steadily each year. We have a wool offering in our Fabrica line and a wool offering in our Maslin line, and we've seen really very nice growth in the wool business during this whole downturn.
Yeah, actually, you've become one of the biggest players in the wool market, haven't you?
Well, there are no real numbers that you can get to confirm, but I think we are one of the major players in the wool business, and we see it as a growth vehicle for our company. On the far other end, we are also in the polyester business. The growth of polyester has really been an interesting phenomenon to watch. If you go back to 04, nylon staple and polyester staple were both about 600 million pounds. Today, nylon staple is almost gone, and polyester staple will be gone before too long. Polypropylene was about 800 million pounds. Today it's less than 400 million and shrinking in carpet, maybe not in rugs, but in carpet. So you've really seen polyester filament take the place of a lot of the other fibers. So it's down to a two-horse race between nylon filament and polyester filament, unlike our Republican primary.
We better stay away from that one. Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's talk about these results. You're doing much better than the market, up 15% in sales at $270 million for the year. And earnings, first time you've had some black ink in 3 years, your earnings were 1.27 for the year, right?
Yes. We saw nice improvement. You know, since the downturn, we had, like everyone else, had struggled, and this year returned us to profitability, and our trajectory seemed to be going in the right direction. Again, I think a lot of our success has been the fact that our folks have continued to bring out beautiful, new, differentiated products. We have felt, since we are a product-driven company, that we must continue new products and continuing to sample these products aggressively, whereas some of our competitors have pulled back in those areas. And I think this has helped us grow in a very difficult environment.
That's right. I went to your surfaces booth, and every year I go there, it's just unbelievable what you guys are able to do. And you look like you've topped the year before, and then the next year you do it again. That's to be commended. Just looking at these numbers versus what the industry's done, on the residential side, sales up 8% in the fourth quarter, and we think the industry number was more around 3%, don't we? So you're taking share somewhere.
Right, and for the year, we were actually up 16% on the residential side. And again, that's new product. As we go into this year, we're doing a lot with the new Stainmaster Solar Max products, the solution dyed nylon. We're doing, obviously, we have a great number of wool offerings and a piece dye wool, which will allow our high-end customers a much more choice on color in wool than they have traditionally had in the marketplace. And as we go through the year, the new TrueSoft by Stainmaster, we think, is going to be the new standard of softness in floor covering. We're anxious to get these products out and working hard on that as we speak.
Yeah, and actually, you guys were in the development process with TrueSoft, helped them actually come up with that product. And to speak a minute about your relationship with Invista and Stainmaster, they have two products that are somewhat exclusive. They're only doing these with a few mills, and both with SolarMax and TrueSoft, Dixie is the one they've tapped to be one of their partners.
Well, I think they look at us as a good developer of products, the good position in the high end, and willing to spend the money to invest to be ahead of the pack.
So what do you think's next for Dixie for the coming year?
Kemp, it's a real unusual period. I would have thought during 08 and 09 we would have had a lot of structural changes in the industry, and really we had almost none. I think we're beginning to have some. I think as people get used to the new normal, whatever the new normal is, a lot of things will happen. We saw in late 11 a lot of plants closed because people realized they weren't going to be utilizing that capacity anytime soon. I would think we'll probably see some structural changes within the industry, but I really think the bulk of what we're going to see is battle for market share with polyester filament and nylon filament leading the way and the changes that's bringing about in the market and in the structure of the industry.
Okay. Do you buy into this concept that there's still a lot of pent-up demand out there, and as soon as people feel a little bit better about things, that they're going to be maybe opening up the floodgates?
Well, again, I think for the whole market to improve, housing needs to bottom out, home resales need to improve, and I think we will see a lot more demand. A lot of demand today is on the multifamily housing area because there's a lot of turnover there, a lot of demand there. But, you know, interestingly enough, what we look at as the barometers of our business, it is not tied to interest rates or home sales. It's really tied to consumer confidence and the stock market. And as the stock market improves and consumer confidence improves, the upper end consumer that is more likely to buy our products begins to buy. And that's why I think our business has already improved.
Yeah, and certainly we have to watch these raw material prices and what effect that has on product pricing.
Well, there's no question during 2011, price increases impacted all the carpet mills. There were a couple of increases early in the year. There was an aborted attempt by some in the late third quarter. And candidly, it was, I think, from a cost standpoint, probably justified, but maybe not good market timing.
Right.
We then did have an increase in the first quarter of this year, and that was implemented earlier in the quarter. You know, Kemp, we're on LIFO, and that doesn't mean much to many people. They don't follow accounting very closely, but what it means is the minute our raw material costs go up, that's reflected in our costs and our numbers. So our LIFO reserve last year actually doubled because of the huge cost increases we had. So we would very much like to be in a more stable raw material environment where we're not faced with these increases. But certainly the increase in the first quarter was needed, and I think for that reason it was fully implemented by the industry.
Okay, Dan, well, I appreciate you spending time with us. We've been talking to Dan Frierson, who's chairman of the Dixie Group, and you've been listening to Kemphar and FloorDaily.net.